totally ridiculous.
So I will have to head out at about 7 o'clock because I have an aunt visiting, which is in 50 minutes. And we're a small group today, so that should be okay.
Sure.
Are you okay being recorded for podcast?
Sure, okay. Because
you've not been here before. I have to ask. Okay.
He's been on the radio.
That's fancy. Radio is your point. We're going to talk about how we relate to each other through technology. So texting each other and, like, you work from home and how you interact with your coworkers and stuff. We don't have to stick to that. It's a small group.
I just want to say, I think this was Abby's idea. Abby should be here.
Yes. She had schoolwork, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Tom's had taxes. Yeah. Colleen had something she had to do.
Yeah, she normally has an issue.
Libby's not feeling well. Just a bad night for a lot of people.
I haven't seen
Libby
in a while.
That's okay. I adore her. She has a good feeling to it. Any thoughts?
Yeah, if you could just switch that off, then we don't have to worry about it at all. People would just be feeling nothing. And then, I mean, if they chose to, then it would be fine.
Yeah, but I figure that's more of like, I think our emotions allow us to have a deeper experience, so it's sort of like the three dimensions of experience, whereas if we just went through the motions, it would be two-dimensional.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at chosen times. When it doesn't add anything. Because sometimes your emotions add a new other dimension, and sometimes they just provide an opposite.
Yeah, but I think dealing with that is part of what makes our personalities what they are.
Yeah, it does. It'd be nice to be able to switch that on and off.
Yeah. Data's chip.
Like switches.
Switches
like
are cool.
Being able to shut things off, turn them back on.
I like the Frankenstein ones. I found one of those in the theater.
Don't touch the lever.
So to start things off, my mom joined Facebook this past week. And I suddenly had to come to terms with, you know, I never post anything online that I've done that I find questionable. I don't regret anything that I've ever done, so it makes me who I am. It's part of the experience. And I live a pretty transparent life, pretty open about what I do and who I'm interacting with online. That doesn't mean I want to parade it in front of my mom.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, you know, people have been throwing that scenario at me for a while. I was like, you know, I never post anything that I wouldn't be comfortable with. And all of a sudden she's like, request from Mercedes Brew.
It's two different issues, though.
Why is that?
What you feel comfortable with and what you want to share with your mother.
Yes.
I wouldn't add any of my relatives on Facebook personally because exactly for that reason.
Yeah.
It's different how you interact with your friends or even your public image. Well, I mean, I'm in music. My mother doesn't know what goes out from that. She doesn't pay any attention to it. And neither does my family usually unless it reaches another point where they hear about it and then, you know, sometimes that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, not just friends, but like our family, but coworkers.
That
like
too.
The first people that sent me Facebook invitations were coworkers of mine.
Good.
Yeah, because I work in computers, so I mean, I work with a bunch of different areas. And they're on Facebook and stuff. And, you know, there's things I find myself censoring on Facebook, not posting, because I don't want it going around the office. I'm pretty transparent as well. I'm pretty upfront. Everybody at the office knows I'm that guy. But still, you know, I don't want to, like, call attention to it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's something you can do. And I added as a friend, you know, usually the music people that I contact, they either know me or they don't have their guard up so they have we get to see their full regular page. Yeah, Bowie's guitarist Reeves Gabrels, I think they're not working together anymore, but he did it for years. He has a fan page and a personal page, which means you can create different pages that you want to share with people. So if you don't feel comfortable with those people, you can create a coworker's page. And you can interact with them on a coworker's page, and then your other, whatever you choose to label it, your personal page would not be accessible to them.
Mm-hmm. Then we move into having different
multiple
technologies for, yeah,
exactly.
Multiple identities. Mm-hmm.
That's inevitable. Yeah. You know,
fortunately, they can't keep up with my real multiple identities. I'd spend all my time making web pages.
Well, there you go. You know, but he's the only really the only one that did that out of like just added like 60 people. Most of them were in music, and he had a separate page. He's not even that large a public personality. Carole King, for example, has a completely open page, and she's an enormous personality.
Yeah.
You know, she's like you know, one of the most recognizable names in music in the world, but he isn't.
Right.
And he's more guarded than she is. She's not guarded at all.
So I think creating the filters is interesting. I've been of the opinion in the past that if you go looking for it, you have to deal with what you find responsibly. So if people want to go around the filters, or if they want to go through the effort of figuring out what I'm not blatantly showing them, then it's up to them to be responsible. And if they're not, then there will be issues. But it's sort of a bound or a sharing of responsibility.
Oh, I certainly wouldn't put anything on Facebook that I don't want anyone to discover. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't put it out there. That's the best way to deal with it, really. Yeah, you don't want to share everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the Spielberg movie, which I don't really like, but Minority Report. Everybody knows what you're thinking. See, that'd be horrifying.
Yeah.
Really, nobody's business what you're thinking. It's their business what you're doing. If it intersects with something, or it's a problem. Mm-hmm. What you're thinking is totally done, unless you put it out there. It's not yours anymore.
Yeah. So what do you think about the level that you know people at in order to friend them? I like on Twitter that they use the term following, because you're actually following their updates, but on a lot of other social forums it says that you're friending the person.
Mutual.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the case.
Right. And I am actually pretty close with my Facebook, but not with my LiveJournal, where I only follow people on LiveJournal that I know. Or wait. No, on LiveJournal, I'll add a lot of people, but I filter nearly all of them out, and I don't touch LiveJournal very often. But on Facebook, I only add people that I actually know. And like LinkedIn,
yeah.
You're basically saying I will vouch for this person, so that's an even smaller network.
Right, yeah.
But how do you,
can't
determine who you're adding and who you're not?
Well, I mean, you can't determine that particular aspect of it. You can make that determination, but not by mutual friends, because people are just trawling this. I'm trawling it. I'm doing a lot of networking.
Yeah.
So I don't have to know the person. I might want to share information with them.
Okay.
Well, that's what it's called, social networking. So.
Yes. But I mean, it's not like I have a trust issue with any of them. I don't. But it could be a positive. I don't see any negative if you're not putting out what the Lord said.
Well, I think there's a relationship between what and where and when I filter and what I present, right? So, you know, my MySpace page has 900 friends,
right,
and no real personal information about me on the page at all. My Facebook page will have, you know, pictures of my daughter.
And where she can be kidnapped, right?
Right. And consequently, you know, all of my Facebook friends are people I actually know.
Don't befriend that Seinfeld guy. I don't know if you've seen the episode, but I wouldn't befriend him.
Yeah.
I don't have TV.
Oh, it's this Jerry Seinfeld, Seinfeld episode where the masseuse is concerned because he's talking about the safety of her child in relation to, like, children getting kidnapped, and he's making jokes, and she gets paranoid and thinks that he's going to become a kidnapper.
Interesting. They actually did a survey a study online recently where they figured out that kidnapping and pedophilia are not the main issues online. That's a very small percentage of what's going on, and those are kind of the people that would be figuring out a different way to do it anyway.
Right.
The main issue is bullying.
Bullying,
yeah.
Yeah, Pete, I know what she's talking about. And that's probably much more common than pedophilia, because there's many more bullies than pedophiliacs.
Yeah.
So, of course, the ratios in what you're saying is probably true. Mm-hmm. It's both a problem, but that problem is larger in society to begin with, so
yeah.
It's going to be gigantic. There's bullies in every classroom, in every school in the United States, well, in the world.
Yeah.
So, there aren't pedophiliacs in every classroom, thank God.
So, being anonymous allow has sort of encouraged a lot of people to be bullies.
Like online bullies,
yeah, having the anonymous factor. But there are also websites that encourage you to, and forums that encourage you to use your real name. There's legitimacy that goes along with having an established online persona.
Right. I was a big fan of Amazon's real name when they first started it. Yeah.
People getting prosecuted for that though when they are discovered. You know, I've seen those court shows all over the place. You know, people getting sued for that. And,
for bullying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the circumstances and who they're bullying and what they're doing. But if it hurts somebody, in other words, it's like any other criteria. If this is hurting someone's reputation, you know, something akin to libel or
mm-hmm.
or affecting somebody in a negative way, where they can get financial compensation, then they're going to get it because it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what method they use.
So there are some places that have you to sort of prevent this to use your real name or have it established. Like I use the same screen name, if not my real name, in every single place. But Warren Ellis on Whitechapel also has a monthly image or like self-portrait image thread where everybody posts what they look like, and it helps remind you that there's a person
right.
at the other end of every post.
Right.
So people are much nicer to each other. So I wonder how we're sort of alienating ourselves from our friends when we have a conversation with them and can't see them.
Well, so one aspect of that is speaking of to identity and identity in the future is we saw a lot of problems, not just with things like bullying, but just with internet security in general. The openness and the anonymity and stuff was great for people who wanted to do good things, and was great for people who wanted to exploit other people. So I think we're going to see pushes in a lot of areas for people to authenticate all over the place for everything that they do. And that'll carry implicitly some level of identity of who the person actually is. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw more of, you know, people having less anonymity. And then consequently, you know, how that would react in the real world.
If someone's good at hacking us, can they always find out who you are? I mean, not the average person, a novice or whatever, who doesn't have the acumen to do that, but I mean, someone who's good at it, can they find out?
Well, that's a very wide issue. It depends very much on what you're doing and what they're looking at. If somebody wants to find you, period, they can probably find a way to
it's
find
easier
you.
Nowadays.
In some respects.
Well, it's a constant one-upping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Where people figure out a way around the system.
Right.
The system gets stronger. People figure out a way around it. And so I don't think that has that has necessarily to do with how we're relating to each other. I think that has to do with trust and privacy and stuff like that, which tie into it. But I think that's a bit more of a tangent that I'm willing to go on right now. So I also wanted to, as a possible idea, sort of contract friendships. Contract in the term, or meaning over a set amount of time. So I work with someone on a project, and so we're friends during that time.
Sure.
But when it's done, we're not lifelong friends. And I remember when I was younger, that was not so much the case. It was like I either bonded with someone and stuck with them, or
never bonded.
Didn't bond at all.
I would say that I have a good deal of real life experience with that as well. For example, traveling around as a computer consultant, you know, if I'm on site doing a project for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, then, you know, there will be people that I gravitate towards, and we'll go out and have lunch every day and stuff. Talk about our friends and family, and then when I leave the project, I never see them again.
Yeah.
I don't know that that, I mean, there might be a little more of that because of technology, but I'm straining to see exactly where that comes into play. I don't know that that is very much affected by technology.
I think it's easier to keep track of those people because they're easier to find.
Right.
So,
well, I have a lot more acquaintance type friends because of my online relationships. Like you said, I mean, there's people that, you know, a dozen people I knew from Philadelphia that without the internet I would have lost contact with long ago. But now, you know, once a month, twice a year, whatever, you catch up in some minor, you know, minor way.
So then that kind of gets into, okay, so when I was out in Indiana, I talked to one of my sociology mentors, who helped me write my thesis when I was, or kind of forced me to stay on the path while I was writing my thesis. And she was talking about how she finally got on Facebook and she could reconstruct her social group from any point in time. So like a lot of her elementary school friends were on there, a lot of her middle school friends were on there, and so she was able to like, I know all these people, I remember sharing all these moments with them, but I don't have time to keep up with all of them. And that's Dunbar's number, which is the number of people that you can maintain a relationship with at once. And so getting back into how many people you're just acquaintances with that you keep in touch with online, I don't really know where I'm going with this.
Well, if you have a huge friends list on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you just send something out there, and it can disseminate. As far as it goes, it's like there's no marginal cost for each additional friend past to build one. And then you can make a special effort to get in touch with those who are closer to you. Of course, there's a hierarchy, of course, that you're closest with, that you interact with the most in the other.
I'm curious, who keeps in touch with people from before high school? I mean, high school on.
I've Googled people from before high school several times.
Really?
I still know people I went to preschool with.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. It would be high school up, because before high school, I'm probably much older than you guys.
Hey, how you been? You're still into ponies?
I'm 55 years old, so that it might be a generation gap too. Because to me, before high school is like prenatal. I can't even conceive of that.
Well,
anymore.
I was in a class of 16 for kindergarten through eighth grade, so I got really close with those people. Uh-huh. And I lived in the same neighborhood as them and everything. So we're still friends.
I recall the prominent ones, but I don't really pursue them, or they don't pursue me, or
curious. I mean, I had just the opposite experience of you. I went to like 8 different schools and just moved all the time. Had lost a lot of friends along the way, made a friend for a year, and then
weird,
talked to them again. I wasn't, I just...
It's like that.
It was just like that.
Yeah.
And, but the people that I enjoyed spending time with, occasionally we'll get curious, like, oh, whatever happened to so-and-so, you can look them up, which is something that used to be much more difficult, but it hasn't really, I can't say that any of them have turned into anything lucrative.
Yeah, 20 years ago is a lot closer than 40 years ago.
I think the closest I got, I did email a guy, actually I found him on Facebook, a friend of a friend kind of a thing, who was a good friend of mine in middle school. And I just sent him a message and said, what the hell are you doing?
What is middle school?
Six, seven, eight.
Oh,
it depends
junior
on where,
high
it depends
school.
On where you're going.
Oh, okay.
Junior.
Yeah, we didn't have middle schools. We're different coast and different generation.
That's okay.
Nothing was called middle school. I was a little unclear, but it says prior to high school. It's in between elementary school and high school. I junior, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 6th to 9th?
6 to 8.
It depends on where you're at.
Yeah, and also, what does high school begin at 9th or 10th?
9th.
It begins at 9th, but I think that where I grew up, you took 9th in the junior high building and then it applied, you matriculated for high school. But I think it might have been in the junior high building. And I got to investigate that because I'm curious. I was thinking about that recently.
Yeah, they're definitely different.
I don't remember.
So did you rekindle a friendship with this guy?
Not really. It was kind of nice talking to him. We exchanged a few emails. And
you guys make crank calls or anything?
What's that?
You get together and make crank calls or?
No. I told him, I said if he's ever around, grab a beer with him or whatever. But, I don't know where I was really going with that. And just other than saying that, it's definitely something that's facilitated now. I don't know where it's going. It's a possibility.
So I find myself sometimes also trivializing my friends, and I mean people that I hold very dear to my heart. My friend Matt is an example where I adore Matt. I spend as much time as I can with him when he's around. He lives in Indiana. Hopefully he will actually be visiting at some point and leading a discussion on nanotechnology, which will be fun since he knows way more about it than I do. But sometimes I won't know the answer to something and I'll be like, Matt would know that. And while it is an excuse to contact him, it's so easy that it's almost delegating the responsibility of figuring it out to someone else, which I think is trivializing the friendship, not that I don't care about Matt, but that it isn't about Matt, it's about something else, which I don't think would be possible without the immediate feedback of technology. Any thoughts on that?
That even existed prior to the technology because you have certain reasons why you originally socialize with somebody. There's usually something that you, information or knowledge or common interest or
just the pleasure of being with someone.
Yeah, that as well. But, but that's a very odd thought.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually happen. I mean, I'm serious. It happens in romance. Doesn't usually happen in friendships. If you look at all your friendships, there's usually something that made you gravitate towards that person as a thing that brought you together. You know, and you can think about it, and with most people, and there will be something tangible that did draw you to each other before.
Okay.
So that's not really a bad thing. And that person might actually not mind that.
Yeah. I think you would tell me if
you
did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they wouldn't bother with that. It's not like, you know, they work for you or something. It's just like, you know, they obviously like interacting,
yeah.
So.
But I mean, also the fact that he lives in Indiana and I live here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to call him on the phone.
Right, I'm not going to call him and chit-chat and then ask him a question. I'm going to ask him a question so no one knows the answer.
Right. Well, that's, I was going to say, actually, as an addition to that, using Facebook as an example, a lot of the information that gets transferred, at least through my friends on Facebook, is trivial information. You know, back when I could only communicate with people through telephones, you know, when we talked and we caught up, it wasn't BS, right? We were like, hey, what have you been doing? And you talk about, like, the major things. And now it's like, you know, I'm taking Twinkies to my daughter's preschool thing tomorrow, and, you know, five people make jokes, and
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I hate about Facebook.
Yeah. I was just speaking to that.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
Well, that's another thing, is that we're not having one-on-one conversations in a lot of these forums, like Twitter and Facebook updates and stuff like that. You're broadcasting something, and if people want to read it, they can. If they want to respond to it, they can, or they don't have to.
I think these networks are less about trivializing your close friendships. They're more about like promoting acquaintances to a friendship level, maybe sharing more with them than you would.
Yeah.
Than you would otherwise.
Hey guys.
That's
crazy. I agree.
Yeah.
You get more interaction with people than you would otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. The issue of it.
Scott. Yeah.
Well.
Al.
Hey.
Song.
Song?
No.
Long time no see. Yeah.
Al. Joshua.
Yes.
The issue of friendship is risk taking.
Mm-hmm.
But in this age, everybody plays safe. So the information exchange is a trivial level. And it is nice to start that way, because you have to step from the shallow water. But if you are always on one foot sea level, it's very shallow friendship.
Right.
And that's the challenge of the whole trend of this futuristic society. And some countries are in crisis of friendship. Australia is officially in crisis. Switzerland is officially in crisis of friendship.
And the people are isolated, you mean? Or?
Yeah, there is not much friendship going on.
Okay.
Although, society looks like speaking in nice.
Okay.
And the theater is also, there is some report, just a recent report of, the crisis of friendship here.
Okay.
I agree that we're not broadcasting important things, and I wonder if that plays into the conversation that we are having, our trivial with acquaintances, and then we're having our deeper conversations more individually with our better friends. Do you think we'll become more open with our more important things that are going on in our lives?
No, it will be both. To be trivial and shallow, and through technology, you cannot be profound. And you deal more quantity, but not much, deprive the opportunity of quality. So there is price, automaticity has a tendency to increase entropy of quality,
Yeah, because we kind of have that tendency anyway, right? As people, we seek variety but not depth of anything.
Yeah, it's the quality is always intentional. And the intention needs first understanding and then focus on intensity or intentionality. And that way you can have both quantity but also quality at a smaller scale. But without that, it will be exploding with so-called friends, but not real friend, but so-called California friend.
Sure, yeah.
That's a very meaningful observation. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I haven't delved into this stuff too much, but I mean, you look at Facebook or something, and someone's got just a gazillion people on it. It's like, almost like trophies, right? Just collecting.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's extended the popularity contest, which I think is interesting when you have the. We were talking a little bit about broadcasting, where you're just putting an idea out there and then people can respond whether or not they want to.
Yeah.
And Clay Shirky talks a little bit in Here Comes Everybody about how television was one person saying something to a whole lot of people and they couldn't say anything back, and a lot of the posts that happen online are a person talking to their small group of friends, and if you stumble on them, you're like, this means nothing, what are you doing? But it's not directed at you. And so there's this weird flip point of someone who's following a lot of people, and they're taking in a lot of information, and it's more of a television sort of thing where they're ingesting a whole lot of information but not putting a lot out there. And then you have people who are followed by more than they're following, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so they're being watched more than they're watching.
Okay.
I was going to go somewhere with that. It went away. And so I think the people who have a whole lot of friends, that it's more a popularity contest to them. They're not actually, those people aren't paying attention to them. And so I think it has a different meaning than it used to, even though people are still grasping onto the old meaning. And people who have been on Facebook for a time realize that it's not working that way, and so they start to trim out people that they're not actually interacting with.
Another thing I just wanted to mention, apropos the quality versus quantity thing, is I don't think the technology is to blame, although the technology will facilitate one or the other. alternately. But, for example,